You are listening to The Riding, NFL DFS Podcast with Pat James.
Welcome, everybody, to The Riding DFS and Betting Podcast for the Memorial Mirrorfield Village Jacks Tournament. Hit another first-round leader last week. Of course, it was a split. You know, I really knew a book in the U.S., which I don't think it'll ever happen, but someone's got to go to non-dead heat rules. Basically, they'd, like, just be crucified if they did. What usually happens are the odds are terrible, right? So before it became legal here in the United States, I used to bet with some books overseas for my golf betting. This was 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And there was no dead heat rules, right? So if six guys tied for the first round leader, they paid them all out. The only problem was you rarely saw the massive numbers that you see on DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGM, BetRivers, that type of thing. Because they might, you know, a scenario could happen where they had to pay out 6, 7, 8 guys like last week. But anyway, like I said on Twitter, it was like the equivalent of like hitting the low exacta at the Derby, right? Like the two favorites. I mean, whatever. It was chopped up. But since the last tournament of April, though, that's three first-round leaders. We hit Kirk Kitayama in a somewhat of a chop at the end of April. We hit Sebastian Munoz straight up. I believe it was 80-1. And we hit Harold Varner last week in a chop as well. So, you know, we're rolling. As of right now, it is a profitable year, period. No matter what, I will not bet more than I have already made on the four outrights, the first-round leaders, etc. So, you know, another outright or two or another first-round leader or two will make it, like, a pretty massive year. But for right now, we're sitting pretty with what we have in the kitty already. This is going to be somewhat abbreviated. It is the last week of school before finals. I teach seniors, so I always attend all the senior festivities, awards night, superlative night, all that type of thing, class night, obviously graduation. So super busy. Little pat on the back. One of my students won a pretty big college scholarship for writing an essay about how much I changed their life. You know, just nothing crazy, no big deal. Just changing kids' lives one day at a time. So I have to attend that banquet. So this one is going to be pretty quick because I have lots of things to do, lots of golf to play, lots of ceremonies to attend, etc. I am in my vehicle, classic edition of the ride in. So if you hear foghorns, windshield wipers, you know, just wild traffic and maybe a little bit of road rage for me, it's because I'm on the road. So let's talk about Mirrorfield. So the big thing about Mirrorfield that I noticed when I was looking at the statistics on Fantasy National was it is not a scrambler's course, right? Strokes gained around the green is severely muted. You basically have to score on the par fives and not make bogeys everywhere else. You know, maybe score, if you're a solid par three scorer, that is an advantage. If you hit a lot of greens in regulation, that's an advantage, right? So we want guys that are basically good ball strikers, right? Put it in the fairway, or at least good drives we'll look at. Hit more greens than their opponents, right? So greens in regulation gained is a stat that says this player usually performs above average in greens in regulation. Hitting in two on par fours, in one on par threes, in three on par fives. So we want to be able to have guys that, you know, have looks at birdies, but if not, can two putt for par. We don't want guys scrambling and having like 7 foot par putts. That's not going to get it done here. So the stats that I looked at, good drives gained, greens in regulation, obviously approach and opportunities gained. I put each of the hole bucket yardage in long par threes, 200 plus, par fours, 450 to 500, and par fives, 550 to 600. I did not put any yardage buckets in this week because the course has been lengthened a little bit, and I think, you know, at this course specifically, guys can play a little bit more to their number, right? On the par fives, they can hit to their number on their third shot, or they can go for it. I think we will see a lot of varying approach shot distances this week. Let's say it that way. So I did put it in as the actual holes. Guys can play the hole, that yardage, that specific yardage hole, the way they like. No yardage buckets to speak of. Did a little bit of bent grass putting. So let's take a look at what we can find here. The first thing I'll tell you is the peaking players. I always like to look at guys that are playing better and better each week. You know, I look at how they've played over the last 50 to 100 rounds and see if those stats have improved in the last, you know, 4, 8, 12 rounds. Those guys are Davis Riley, Scott Stallings, Stu Sink, Rory McIlroy, and KH Lee. All guys that have improved above their, you know, historical baseline. Guys that are fading. Not that I'm particularly fading in DraftKings or anything like that, but that are fading in terms of are playing worse than their baseline would suggest. Matt Wolf, Joaquin Niemann, Jason Duffner, Abe Anser, Kevin Streelman. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 in the model. We have number one, Rory McIlroy. As I just mentioned, he is someone that is peaking statistically. He's up there in gurs gained and good drives gained. Those, I think, are the two most important stats this week. He's also inside the top 10 in approach form and bogey avoidance. Number two is Cam Young. He's always going to rate out statistically well because he's just a beast. He almost won the PGA Championship if it wasn't for that double bogey on, I believe, 16. He is first in the par 4 range, second in opportunities gained, second in the par 5 range, and he's also second in form. And he's also top 10 in bogey avoidance. I think Cam Young is a really good play. I'm betting Cam Young 40-1. I know that's kind of short, but I was kicking myself for not betting Harold Varner after his massive collapse. Well, before his massive collapse last week, right? I didn't bet him because he was only like 50-1 or 55-1, but I loved him. Had him top 40, had him first round leader, had him in DraftKings. And, you know, things went awry, obviously. He like tripled three holes on the back, but it's just a lesson to be learned. Like, you know, 50-1 is 50-1. It's not like you're betting John Rahm at 8-1 and it's a terrible number and you're trying to squeeze out 4 more points and get him at 12-1 or 15-1. Like, 55-1 is good enough, right? Throw your 20 bucks down, throw your 40 bucks down, win 1,000, win 2,000 bucks, and move on. Sure, you'd love to bet Harold Varner at 80-1 or 100-1, but in the field last week and, you know, in the way he's been playing, he was 55-1. And if you think he's going to win, you just take it. And that's the lesson I learned, despite the fact that he imploded. Number three is Shane Lowry. Loves playing at difficult courses. Rates out really well in good drives, approach, the par five and four distances. He's on my radar. I really almost bet him, but you'll find when I post my card that I just couldn't get to him because I do like a few players a little bit more. Mito. So the entire narrative around Mito is that he's just going to collapse in the final round like he did again at the PGA. I think like people are just going to be backing off Mito, but man, he's playing unbelievable. And I don't care how he did, you know, what he did in that final round at the PGA. I think it just shows you that he is going to be creeping up and, you know, contending week in and week out. He is first in good drives and second in greens in regulation. That's all you need to hear from me to know that Mito is a solid play. I would even bet him at 50-1. I don't think he's going to make my card, but I would not fault anyone for that. He's inside the top 10 in approach, form, opportunities gained, par 3 distance. Great play this week. Xander is 5. He ranks inside the top 10 in approach, good drive gained, greens and regulation. And he's also top 20 in form. Davis Riley, another guy that is peaking. He's 12 or better in approach, good drives, form, opportunities gained, greens and regulation, and bogey avoidance. Cam Smith comes in at 7. He's a guy I'm probably going to avoid despite the fact that he hit the model. This course just doesn't scream Cam Smith, and he'll probably be under-owned. But, you know, when I think of Cam Smith, I think of, like, magical chipping and putting. I mean, he did win a tournament at 34 under the Tournament of Champions at the beginning of the year. But so we know that he can make birdies in a birdie fest. Not that this is going to be a birdie fest, but I don't know. I just like some other guys better at the top. Jordan Spieth is 8. He's obviously playing really well. His stats don't really bear it out in terms of like anything that pops out specifically, except for the fact that he's just playing really well across the board, right? He's a guy that just doesn't have any red flags currently. Looks good, playing good, good form. He is 8th. Sungjae Im is 9th. From the rafters, like sting, comes Sungjae. I feel like I haven't talked about him in ages, but he's had a nice run despite that little layoff overseas where he was cooped up because of COVID. He rates out well in the two most important stats, and that's pretty much all you have to know. 5th in greens and regulation, 6th in good drives. Max Homa is 10. He is tops in, or rates out top 10 in approach, putting, form, par 4 distance, and the par 5 distances. Really like Max Homa. Okay, guys that I'm betting outright. Colin Morikawa has great history at this course, has won the Workday, has won on other Jack Nicklaus courses, and I'm just feeding the Morikawa train, right? Like, he's made me lots of money, made all of us lots of money, 55-1 at the concession last year. Just, I mean, we've hit every winner that he's ever won. So I don't, as long as he's in the 20s, I don't think I'm ever going to not bet him. He's 22 on Bet Rivers. Matt Fitzpatrick. So he just missed out in the model top 10. He ranked 11th. He's up there in bogey avoidance, the par 5 range. He is inside the top 10 in good drives and also form and the par 3 distances as well. And he's also 14th in greens and regulation. So I really like Matt Fitzpatrick. His stats pop a little bit too when you sort by difficult courses. Corey Connors, he's a good bogey avoidance player, right? He is up there in good drives and greens and regulation, par 3 distances. I really like him as a place bet and a DraftKings play this week. Aaron Wise, I think, is going to be popular, but he rates out well. 6th overall in the last 24 rounds, if you just look at the last 24 rounds, but you know that I scale my model for recency. So, you know, some of those later rounds kind of ding him a little bit. He slips out of the top 10, but there really isn't a red flag in his game. Really good player, good putter. I like him as a place bet, first round leader, DraftKings play, that type of thing. I don't think he's going to be able to get a W here. Matthew Neesmith is my favorite, punt first round. Actually, he's not my favorite punt. I'll get to my favorite punt in a second, but he's probably my favorite first round leader. He always seems to have a nice first round. He's top 10 in the par 5 distances, greens and regulation gain. So I don't mind him as a DraftKings play or a first round leader bet. In fact, I have bet him for first round leader. Okay, so some of the guys I do like that are in that 6K range. I really like Patrick Rogers. So hear me out here on P-Rog. I like him as a first round leader. He's 4th in greens and regulation gained on difficult courses, 20th inside the top 20 in form on difficult courses, and 40th in good drives gained. That's good enough for me. He's 11th in the par 3 distances as well, and 27th in bogey avoidance. That's good enough for me to say he'll have one round where he is, you know, he's able to be a first round leader or a great showdown play or a DraftKings play. He's my favorite in the punt range, but I do like Neesmith. I like Brendan Steele. he pops statistically. I actually think he's going to be important. When you look at Fantasy National at, you know, who's been creating lineups and how many lineups have been created, who's in certain lineups, Steele's actually, he kind of pops. Oddly enough, you sort by difficult courses, he pops even more. He's 13th in good drives, 17th in greens and regulation gained. Really like Brendan Steele in that punt range. And I think that's about it. I know that was quick. My card will come out. You could see the top 10. You could see who I bet. And you could kind of make a DraftKings pool based on like my entire card, right? So obviously the top 10 are my top 10 favorite statistical plays. Then, you know, anybody that's not on the top 10 that's on my outright card or my top 40 card or my first round leader card are guys that I also think are going to do well. You can kind of get glean anytime I do one of these super quick, super talk fast episodes because I have a million things going on. You could kind of refer to the card or my article on Fantasy Points. That kind of gets you a better picture of exactly who I like for DraftKings. As always, the DMs are open. A lot of guys shoot me an email. Hey, do you like this guy? What do you think about this guy? Where's this guy in the model? I will gladly converse, shoot the shit over a player or two if you come across a guy that you want to know my feelings about. I'll always say to play a guy if you think. I think somebody was asking me about Cam Tringali last week. He made a case for him in the DMs. Like said, hey, what do you think about Tringali? He's third in this, eighth in this. Over the last 24 rounds, he did this or he was good on, you know, last 4 years in the Charles Schwab, he hasn't missed a cut, this, this, and this. And I said to him, you sold me on him. I mean, you made a good case for him. Sounds like it. Go ahead, go for it. But either way, you know, play who you want to play or ask me on Twitter if you have any thoughts. You want to see where they rank in the model or what I think about them. But good luck at the Mirfield. My card and my article is already up. My card will be up in a few hours soon as Ben from Fantasy Points puts it all together in a graphic. All right, that'll do it for the Ride In DFS and Betting Podcast for the Mirfield Village Memorial Jack's Tournament. Can't wait to watch it. Can't wait for summer to be here. Can't wait to play golf every single friggin' day. See you guys.